This is Solidarity News on Radio Labour.
This is a Radio Labour World Report recorded on Friday, June 21st, 2024. I'm Marc Boulanger. In the report this week, a special program on the plight of trade unionists in Hong Kong. The Labour Start report about union events and singing.
Freedom and justice is the melody that let us shine on. If you feel it through the music, we can make this world a better thing.
This is Radio Labour.
The people in Hong Kong can no longer speak out openly against the oppression. It is therefore very important for the people from outside to speak out for them.
Christopher Su Tat Mung is the executive director of the Hong Kong Labour Rights Monitor. He is living in exile in the UK because the Hong Kong security police have charged him with violating the territory's draconian national security law. The police have offered a 1 million Hong Kong dollar bounty on Mr. Mung and seven other Hong Kong activists who have fled the city. The police say that Mr. Mung is wanted on a charge of incitement to secession because he participated in a conference held by an organization outside Hong Kong. The organization is believed to be the French Democratic Confederation of Labour, the CFDT. I reached Mr. Mung at his home in London. In the interview, he mentions the International Trade Union Confederation. The ITUC is the global body which represents national union centers, such as the Ghana Trade Union Congress and the AFL-CIO in the United States. Mr. Mung, after the 2020 Hong Kong Legislative Council election, many trade unionists were arrested. Tell us who some of them were.
The trade unions in Hong Kong have been facing an intensive attack. 13 unionists in total were arrested, and more than 270 trade unions were forced to disband under the right terrorists. In the case of the primary election for the Legislative Council, 47 people, including two unionists, were charged on the accusation of conspiracy of subversion state power. These two unionists are Carol Ng, the former chairperson of the Hong Kong Confederation of Trade Unions, and Winnie Yu, the former chairperson of the Hong Kong Hospital Authority's Employee Alliance. They both were prominent women leaders in the Hong Kong labor movement. For a long time, Carol Ng was committed to the campaigns against employment discrimination and union busting in aviation industries. Winnie Yu once led the largest health worker strike in Hong Kong history, with 9,000 people for health and safety at the beginning of the pandemic. They both represent the workers' voice essentially in the primary election. Carol Ng was the candidate of the Labour Party. Winnie Yu was in the constituency of the profession her union belonged to. Since the charge began, the court denied Carol Ng's application for bail because she was involved into the international labor movement, which was regarded as potentially a threat to national security. Winnie Yu was once granted bail, but remanded again after her release, as she continued to criticize how the authorities handled the new pandemic outbreak. Until now, Carol Ng has been remanded for more than 1,000 days, and Winnie Yu for more than 900 days before any sentence is given.
Some of the unionists were in court 2 weeks ago. Tell us what happened there.
2 weeks ago, the court concluded the over 100-day trial. All the defendants, including these two unionists, were found guilty except two. The state's designate judges conducted the trial without a jury. According to the judgment, the defendants committed illegal means to subvert the state power as they planned to oppose government budget after being elected. The judgment is completely contradictory to the rights of the legislators enshrined in the Basic Law. That was the political persecution of the people fighting for democracy under the authoritarian state. After the conviction, the dates for the defendant's mitigation have been scheduled for July and August this year. The court would not give the sentence until then.
I have heard it said that the top court in Hong Kong is independent. What do you say to that?
I think the court has been heavily influenced by the Chinese government now. What we have seen, the trial being conducted by the designated judge, is unfair. And then I think that is no more independent judiciary in Hong Kong under the heavy influence of the Chinese government. All the judge conducting the trial against national security law have been assigned by the chief executive of the government. And the trial has been conducted without a jury. Also, the defendants have been exploited their right to bail. So that is absolutely contradictory to the common law principle we have following previously under our administration.
What can unionists around the world do to help?
Under the political threat, the people in Hong Kong can no longer speak out openly against suppression. It is therefore very important for the people from outside to speak out for them. We should let the Hong Kong unionists in prison know that they will never be forgotten. It was very encouraging that ITUC has issued a strong statement in response to the parliamentary election case shortly after the court conviction. Trade unions around the world should condemn the Hong Kong authorities and the Chinese government for their suppression of fundamental human rights and trade rights in Hong Kong. You could issue a statement, pass a resolution, or organize a solidarity action concerning this case. Every action counts. Warn the Chinese government that the international labor movement is still closely watching the situation in Hong Kong. Furthermore, the Chinese government has been launching a smear campaign to stigmatize the independent labor movement as an anti-China force and the imprisoned unionists as criminals. It would be very helpful if the unions overseas could circulate our reports among your members and tell them the truth.
You can find more information about the situation for unionists in Hong Kong at hklaborrights.org. Here with his report about union events around the world is Labor Start correspondent Derek Blackadder.
This week, our top stories section included links to coverage of the tremendous effort being made by French unions in support of the Popular Front as the far right looks to make considerable gains in the coming national elections. The organizing efforts aimed at Amazon in the United Kingdom, India, and the United States, and the passage of legislation banning scabs from many workplaces in Canada. But my favorite top story of this week was the announcement that the union movements in South Korea and the Philippines are cooperating to improve the lives of migrant workers, most of them domestic workers or seasonal agricultural workers. Unions in both countries were reacting to a pilot program announced by their respective governments that provides little by way of assurances that Filipino workers employed in South Korea will have access to enforcement mechanisms to protect their basic labor rights. This story is just one of a dozen this week respecting migrant domestic and agricultural workers. Our volunteers also posted news about them from across Africa, from Greece, Italy, the United Kingdom, Canada, Malaysia, Argentina, and from Australia. On our Working Women News page, you'll find details of the Australian Public Service Union's fight to close the $19,000 a year gender pay gap, a huge protest march organized by a women-only union to press for an increase to the Indian minimum wage, and why, across Africa, basic information about domestic workers, even just how many there are, what they do, and how much, if anything, they are paid, is so hard to come by, and why this is making the struggle for labor rights and a living wage more difficult than it already is. Flip over to the German language edition of our Working Women page, and you'll find details of a big win at the Luxembourg Constitutional Court for women on or planning to take maternity leave. In Portuguese, you'll find news of how unions in Brazil are responding to a far-right attempt in Congress to legislate an equation of abortion with murder. In French, you can see how French unions are working with feminist organizations in the run-up to the snap election there, and you can read a summary of proceedings of an Africa-wide meeting of women mine workers. And in Spanish, you can read stories about union participation in a national conference on women's rights in the face of a resurgence of the Spanish far right, where unions announced that as a result of a concerted effort, the number of women workers who are union members rose by 10% last year. Stories appearing on our health and safety page in Newswire this week had a theme, with workplace assaults on service workers on the rise around the world. Unions in Canada, the United Kingdom, South Africa, France, India, Nigeria, Brazil, Colombia, and Australia are ringing alarm bells. Workers in the healthcare sector are especially vulnerable and very often the targets of violent attacks as members of the public act out on the frustration that long waits for medical attention are generating. Their unions are calling not just for improved workplace safety initiatives, but for improved healthcare services. Our current photo of the week comes to us from Switzerland, where on the 14th of June, Central Trade Union SGB USS led a national general strike by women workers. Strikes by women workers, also referred to as feminist strikes, have a long and proud history in Switzerland. This was merely the latest and was organized to oppose cuts to pensions and to demand improved parental leave supports and an increase in women's wages. You can read more about the strike on our Working Women News page in English, French, German, and in Italian. This is Derek Blackadder from Labor Start, reporting for Radio Labor.
Now here is the Playing for Change band with the Freedom Song.
Freedom and justice is the melody that let us shine on. If you feel it through the music, we can make this world a better place. Freedom and justice is the melody that let us shine on.
And that's it, international labor news you can use. You can listen to our news reports and features at radiolabor.net. Radio Labor will be on a union break until Friday, September 6th, 2024. Thank you for listening. And remember, It's all about global solidarity.